I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Oh, back at it, boys and girls. What's going on? We're back, baby. Are you on the mic?
On the mic.
Oh, I don't have the headphones. I don't know.
Happy New Year, John.
We got it, dude. We're back. This is our second episode of the year, but our first time back in the studio.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We made it. Did you make it through the holidays?
Made it, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. We had a good holiday.
Same.
Oh, yeah. I was all around,
bro. Low-key or what?
Whenever I'm done with touring, I'm like, dude, I can never do it again. Mm-hmm. And then I like becomes about now I'm like, oh, I got some things to say.
You're just home for a couple weeks.
I got so many clips. Dude, I wrote down, we got a guest episode today, but I got so many things like, oh, dude, we got to talk about that on the pod. We got to talk about the pod.
That notes app gets filled.
It's a good outlet for us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good outlet for a lot of people too. Mm-hmm. Cause they see wild stuff and they send it in.
Yeah.
Also, I think I've seen a lot of, we don't have to get into this, but I've seen a lot of, lot less of the tipping.
This year so far?
No, a lot less. I saw one that said 10, 15, and zero. By default, good. There was a zero on there.
Good.
I know.
You're being the change you want to see in the world. Fantastic. Yes.
That's our 2024, baby. We go into 2 weeks. We're going to North Charleston. I think it's just Charleston. Columbia, South Carolina, Wilmington. Three shows in Nashville, Tennessee. February, two shows in Greenville, South Carolina, Knoxville, sold out, Huntsville, sold out, Amarillo, Wichita Falls, Lubbock, Munhall, that's right outside of Pittsburgh, sold out, Zanesville, Cleveland, March, we're going to Mobile, I believe sold out, New Orleans, Houston, Royal Oak, Michigan, which is in Detroit, just added a second show, Fort Wayne, about to add a second show, Peoria, Buffalo, Toronto, Erie, Durham, Macon, Chattanooga, then April, we're going to Rochester, St. Paul, Duluth, San Jose, Santa Rosa, Redding, Dayton, and Lexington. And we're adding some tour dates. We're adding a run, just because people always ask, we're adding a run around like Portland, Seattle. We're doing out there. Then we're doing like a Northeast, like a New York City type area. So we hitting the hot spots, baby.
Nice, dude.
We going out there, but if you run a business like we do, a new year is full of surprises, baby. One thing is predictable. Postage costs will go up again in 2024. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Wow.
Stamps.com.
Yeah.
Gives you crazy discounts up to 89% off USPS and UPS services.
So this is the biggest discount we've had on an ad so far. 89%
is the most. That's the most.
You're paying 11%. Is what that is.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, dude.
Just stay home.
89% off. Fantastic.
Yeah. I go into the post office. I forgot to bring y'all's Christmas gift.
That's okay. We'll be here
next week. Okay. Cause people sent in some stuff for y'all.
Oh, let's go.
Yes. Yeah, so I go into the USPS, everyone, the good people down there.
Nice.
But you can do it. You can do it by yourself. You can set up your own business. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what kind of businesses people are having.
Maybe like
jewelry.
I'm trying to think of like Etsy type stuff. I feel like that would be big.
Lettering.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's custom like calligraphy.
Oh yeah. Big in that game. Mm-hmm. Shoes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can do shoes.
Yep. Baked goods.
Oh, baked goods.
Yep.
Yeah. I used to do my comedy specials with stamps.com.
Nice, dude.
With stamps.com, all you need is a computer and a printer, baby. Taking care of orders on the go is even easier with stamps.com mobile app. Dude, they got it all. If you sell products online, stamps.com seamlessly connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Unbelievable.
That's big.
25 years.
Yeah.
Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses.
A million.
Keeping us going, baby. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs each year with stamps.com. Sign up for the promo code NETPOSITIVE for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, free digital scale, no long-term commitments and contracts. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone in the top of the page and enter the code NETPOSITIVE. Speaking of NETPOSITIVE.
Yeah, man.
This episode.
Yeah.
Dude, this is probably the most nervous I've ever been.
Really?
For, let me see, who was I nervous for? I think we were nervous when Matt Rife came through, but just because we didn't know if it was going to happen.
Right.
Not because
kind of on the fly.
Yeah. Not because we were just like, we knew like what that kind of meant.
Yeah. But and he was doing a million shows while he was in town too. Yeah. So it was like, can he fit us in?
And we were like, I was like, I don't know if he'll come.
Yep.
But I was kind of nervous to execute that, but not in terms of a guest that I've ever been like kind of starstruck for.
Why was this one so nerve wracking?
Man, you know, like the your favorite movie. I always tell people this, your favorite movie, your favorite band, your favorite song is from when you're like 10 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's when you first, like when I first saw like The Fugitive, dude, mm-hmm. I was like, this has changed my life. Cause yep. I was at such an impressionable age.
Right.
Bruce, me and my best friend in ninth grade, he was hosting a show on a black, on BET called Comic View.
Mm-hmm.
And we would sneak down when as parents had gone to bed and watch this show.
Wow.
And we thought, it's one of those guys that like, we thought he was our best friend.
Yeah.
Because he would host the show and all these comics would come out and be like, man, this guy.
That's crazy.
Is hilarious. And I think in 20, not that I have resolutions, I don't like people like that. Well, I mean, that's fine. But I was like, I want to shoot. We always talk about shoot the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask.
Yeah.
Ask me when we, and I called up his agent or whatever. And I was like, hey, I told him that same story. And he was like, yeah, he'd love to come by. And
I think
like,
he had a great time too, man.
Crazy.
It was a fun talk.
Oh, yeah. Just to see your life come like full circle like that. Like yeah. when I played golf with Toby Mack.
Yep.
I was like, dude,
yep.
this is wild, dude. But I was like, it's just like a, now we're like kind of peers, I mm-hmm. guess. But I was like, yeah, but I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what this was like. Yeah, we told a little bit of that story.
Mm-hmm. I think he enjoyed hearing it too. It was cool to get his reaction on it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, about I mean, to see someone that's been in the game, the comedy game for so long.
Nuts.
Yeah. A lot of funny stories. Yeah, y'all are going to love this episode. We'll get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce, we're next to each other on the wall.
Really?
Did you know that, Alex?
What? On which
wall? On the mural.
I'm talking about on
Zany's. Yeah, we're both on the same wall.
He put me right in the middle, too.
Yeah.
He put me right in the middle. I've been dealing with Brian for 30 years plus.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Great dude.
He gets it too. He gets it. It's not like, I don't have a clue. He gets it.
He's the first guy ever when I started like popping, I took an offer from Zany's.
Yeah.
He called me and go, hey, we'll do this weekend, but don't ever take an offer like this again from my club. Like, this is a bad deal for you.
Yeah.
Which like he spoke against his own money.
Should have made more money.
Yeah. He goes, this 80-20 deal or whatever you're doing here, don't ever take one of these again.
Well, I know when I first went to this club 30-some years ago, he paid me, and this is exactly what he said. He said, if you do not get paid like this, the clubs are screwing you. Just like that.
Gosh, I'm like, dude.
What?
Yeah.
So he said, listen, when you do another comedy club and you're not sure, call me.
Yeah.
He said, I will talk to the manager and make sure. And I'm like, whoa.
And you've been coming ever since.
Ever since. I've been selling on this club. I have never, ever been to that club and not sold every show out.
Really?
That's crazy. Yeah.
For how long?
30 years.
That is crazy, dude.
I think last night, it was, I think it's 275. We had like 260 in there.
Yeah.
That's the first LAC show we ever seen.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Been there for a long time.
Yeah, man.
But,
you know, he's straight up, though. You know, you do straight things don't come to you, man.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brian Dorfman. Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio today, baby, we got a comedian. I'm going to read all this because I'm going to make sure I got it all. Comedian, actor. If you don't know, IMDb page is absolutely stacked. Undercover Brother 2, Idlewild, Think Like a Man, host of BET's Comic View. Featured in Outkast music video, so mm-hmm. fresh and so clean. Atlanta native, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce is in the house, sir. Baby.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Yeah, he forgot something though. You know, I didn't like to talk about it. When I was a stripper, let me tell you.
Oh, I missed something. My bad. You know, that's not in your bio.
And the thing is, they didn't put it in because the church members came so hard on me about it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
Ladies passing out. Oh, yeah. I feel that.
But they was one at the show.
Yeah.
The church members was one at the show.
Oh, yeah.
And then they banned me from the church because I'm stripping in the church.
You know? But that's how the Lord can do the full 360.
I used to go by Stretch Marks, but I changed my name to Hard Candy, you know.
No, I like that.
And it was
Hard Candy. Really good.
Hard Candy. Hard Candy. Right. Yeah.
How many X's and marks?
Hard Candy.
Stretch marks.
Stretch marks.
XXX.
It's like three X's.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking because we got Alex, Andrew, and John. I don't think we can't do a Alex.
Yeah,
he's Bruce.
I don't know. Yeah, man.
Can we double white? Yeah.
I'll just say double Alex.
Double Alex. Yeah. That's
cool. Yeah.
He could go Drew.
Yeah, you could go Drew. Yeah,
you know, because
yeah.
some names are cool. Like, I rented a car and the guy's name was Connor. I think Connor is a cool name.
For a white guy?
Yeah, and for a black guy, too. Like, Hunter is a cool name.
I don't know what a black Hunter is.
I don't know any black Hunters.
I know one, but he talked like this. Hey, guys, how are you doing? Good to see you. You know.
How come you can do a white accent? We can't do a black accent.
You can.
Oh, we can?
Well, I don't know why. I mean, everybody thinks.
Hey, don't tell
if
us
you
that.
Want to step out, you
don't
can.
Tell us that.
You can do it.
Don't
you
tell us that. Yeah.
Like the good old boys beat the waffle. I was like, hey, how you doing? You know, they tell me that you're a comedian. I'm sitting over, you know, talking to my brother. And,
is it Ron White?
Yeah. He's talking to my brother, and he's like, you know, that guy's a little bit black guy, a comedian.
That's so good.
And I came over and I said, I'm going to come over there and ask him. You know what I'm saying? I got nothing to lose, you know. And he said, you're a comedian. I said, yeah, he's a wild dog.
I know this guy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I see this guy every day.
He was serious. Like, he was so good. He was cool, but he was serious.
Dead serious.
And you know when he had the Waffle House.
I know exactly who this guy is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, you know when the good old boy is at the Waffle House because it's about $12 on the pickup truck.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. He ain't going to bother you unless I tell him to.
Well, they said that. I've always heard that there's like, real, like you could, like racism in the South or in Alabama, everybody lives amongst each other. So they're just like ribbing each other. It's not real race. They're just like, but you know when real racism is happening.
Oh, man. Let me tell you when you know it's racism in the Waffle House.
Okay.
If you walk in and you speak to everybody, you go, hey, how's everybody doing?
Yeah.
And the good old boys go, yep.
That's how you know.
That's racist right there. He don't want you in there. He'll tell you, I don't care who you rap with, buddy. Snoop Puppy, Tupac. I know the boy.
Snoop Puppy.
And Tupac.
Yeah. Snoop Puppy and Tupac.
Yeah.
No, that sounds about right.
But if you're racist, man, that's just it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a waste of time. And I think a lot of people need to quit telling their kids the wrong information. Because when kids go to school and find out the truth, they'll be like, I don't see this. I don't see what they're saying about different people.
Right.
Because when I was growing up, I only thought white people was racist. Until I heard my granddaddy one day. I'll tell you what, hey, that white man come down here, you tell him I'm not here.
Oh.
Okay. He get there. Your granddad here? He told me to tell you he's not here.
Why'd you say it? He's like, why'd you say it like that?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, he's behind the door like,
oh, yeah.
You so stupid. I told you to tell him I wasn't here. I said, that's exactly what I told him.
So you... The white, like Mike Goodwin, is a comedian that tours with us, black guy. He said he was at school when they was little. He got his fingerprints done in the school. And then he got home and his dad said, don't you ever get your fingerprints done because now they're tracking you. And I always thought it's funny because whenever a police was around me, I was safe. When I was at the park, or I was like, oh, the cops are here.
Well, they did take his fingerprint. They wanted to see if he had any warrants.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. they wanted to take it easy. I mean, you're in the fifth grade. You been in jail? No. Give me a finger.
Let me get, yeah. Yeah,
we'll see about that.
But I was always, like you said.
That water right there?
Yeah.
Too? Yeah, but when they take your fingerprint now, they roll your finger. It's not like a fingerprint. It's roll it over.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it from experience, but look. You know,
it's like that Cat Williams bit about drugs. You got to add water, baking soda, stir it up. I don't know the recipe.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Let me tell you, man. I grew up in the hood in Atlanta. I was a weird kid. Let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. Straight drugs everywhere I grew up at.
Yeah.
I never did drugs because my parents said, you do drugs, I'm going to kill you. So I was more scared of my parents than anything. Yeah. And then I used to listen to rock and roll. Oh, yeah. I used to rock and soft rock. Stealing and it made sense to me.
Stealing our music.
You know what I mean? Stealing it. Stealing it. Nice. You know? And they're like, why are you listening? Because see, back in the day, we talking 71, 70, this is before y'all time. Yeah. But, you know, but we didn't know who were singing on the radio. Okay. Only thing we knew is that we liked the music.
Oh, you never saw a photo of them?
Because back then, you didn't know. You didn't have videos.
Yeah, no VH1,
so,
no MTV.
You know, Hall & Oates come out. Singing, they're like, oh my, like that one or what? Yeah, like then we saw when it came out, all the black people fainted. Those are white boys. You know what I'm saying? The music was good.
The music was good.
The music was good. Yeah. Wild Cherry. Yeah. You know, we didn't know Wild Cherry was a white group.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We knew Average White Band was because the name was Average White Band.
Put it
you know?
There. Yeah.
But they didn't know music. They just knew good music. And back then, it wasn't a black station or white station. It was just a radio station. Mm. So they played everything.
You say we have black and white stations now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know that.
V103 still in Atlanta?
Yes, it is. Where is it going to go? Yeah. But see, back then, DJs are so different now. See, now it's almost like, hey, you know, come on back, one V103, right here in Nashville. But then, the jocks had a gimmick.
A hook.
You know, like Dr. Feelgood. You know, he had all the, hey, ladies, Dr. Feelgood, ow, coming at you right now. I got James Brown coming next. See, he had a gimmick. So all the women, ooh, Lord, I love that joke of Dr. Feelgood. You know what I'm saying? But it was a gimmick, and it got your attention. You know, like he said, ladies, I got something for you real special. We got the Temptations coming right now.
I feel some kind of mood.
Listening. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it'll put you in a mood.
Take me somewhere else.
So if I ever do a radio station, I'm going to do something like that. I'm going to do like an old school, you know what I'm saying?
What you need to do is go to the country station and do the country.
Good old boy.
Yeah, and they wouldn't know. Bruce is black.
Let me tell you now. I like Tim McGraw. People like Tim McGraw. I like that song he made. It's old now, but like, Don't Take My Girl. You can take the... Don't take my wallet. Don't take my watch. My granddaddy gave me, but don't take my girl. Loved that girl.
You could feel it.
And then Tim McGraw had them tight jeans on. They were so tight. Look, man, you can count the change in his pocket. Look, man. One day he was on stage. I know he had 48 cents. It was quarter, two dimes, and three pennies. The pants were so tight. If it rained, them pants would draw up. You know, I like Garth Brooks because I respect him so much. He made so much money in the beginning that he retired to raise his children. After his children got up in age, he started back and made more money.
He did a 24-hour meet and greet
once. Oh, my God.
Seriously?
Outside of the CMA Fest. You can look it up. The Garth Brooks record meet and greet because he was so grateful.
Oh, yeah.
And people aren't like that anymore.
No, man. He's a cool dude.
He's so grateful to have any fans. They announced that he was going to be – so he did a 24-hour –
you can't beat that.
Unbelievable.
And then when you get the kind of money that your kids are going to see.
Oh, yeah.
I probably would have hit 36 hours.
Yeah.
I really would.
That's a
you know what I mean?
36 hours.
Come on, man.
There are 23 straight hours. Garth Brooks signs autographs.
There ain't nothing wrong.
And that was back when you signed autographs.
Yeah, 1996. Oh, you
don't sign autographs anymore. 1996.
You know, autographs now, you can't really do them because people do all type of weird stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I did a comedy club in Orlando.
Yeah.
It's called Improv. And I don't know if you've been to Orlando. You ever been to that club before? Yep. Okay. When you go into the club, when you enter, you go
across that parking deck
and a little bridge you walk across, right? So I'm walking, I see this weird looking guy with a kid with him. Kid about 11, maybe 10 or 11.
Standing right by that door.
Standing right by the door.
Right by the
door.
Left.
He goes like, hey, how you doing, sir? Is there any way we can get a picture?
Hey, sounds like a white guy.
Yep.
It sounds like a white guy. Oh, yeah. He was Lily White.
Look. Yeah. Lily White.
And he goes, I said, sure, you can get a picture. So you coming to the show? Like that. Then he kind of stares at me like, that's a no. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I take the picture. And I get ready to walk away. He said, can you sign these for me? He had about 50 pictures of me.
Yeah. I've seen that, yeah.
I say, no, if you're not coming to the show, I can't do it.
Oh, this is not for you.
I took a picture with you. I say, if you want me to sign those, come to my show. And I walked away.
Dang.
It's weird people out there, man.
Oh, because they're trying to sell it or do
it
some way.
Of course,
they're
not trying.
Yeah.
They just took the picture with me, so now we look like we're buddies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's probably at a rally, say, me and Bruce. Yeah.
Dude, he was weird looking. Yeah. I mean, just... And the kid was weird. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's a lot. Well, I feel we do that at the venue sometimes where they just look up the venues.
Uh-huh.
They look up all the big venues and they know where the entrances are.
I do.
And they stand between, they know you're coming out. It's the show's over at 9:30. They know between 9:30 and 11.
You're coming out. Yeah.
And they'll usually stand. Yeah, and they're not what your fan would look like. Is that a good way to say it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. I'm just going to say,
I got some weird fans.
You know, I got some weird fans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, but to sign that picture, he's not going to come to the show, but he wants your autograph on 50 different pictures. And it was pictures I never saw. I'm like, hey, where you get that?
Yeah, it's a good photo.
Yeah.
There's like bushes in the way.
Dude, just did everything.
Yeah. You think I got more black fans or you got more white fans?
I think I got more white fans.
Nah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I'm serious, man.
Yeah.
They like me too, man.
Like
your show, buddy.
That's how he has the voice. So
you know, I used to do trucker.
Meets him all the time.
I used to trucker can't read, so they always say, "Look here, buddy, I'm lost as a hornet." I tell you what, look here, I'm trying to find this street right here. And they'll point at the word. They will not tell you where they can't read the word.
Can't read.
Right. I said, what's the street? It says right here. Right here, right there on black and white. Right there, you can see it right there. So I said, what's the street? I realized they can't read. So I said, what's the street? It's right here. It's show it to me. Right there, right there. I said, oh, you're looking for Camelton Road. But he said, Camp Belton Road. He broke it down. I said, that's Camelton Road.
Yep.
He said, I don't know where it is. I said, well, actually, right here. Well, I've been doggone. I've been on the street the whole time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, them truckers, I like them, but they something else, though.
Coming. Well, Theo Vaughn's a good buddy of ours. You know Theo? Mm-hmm. So he said he has a big podcast here in town, and he goes, the key to podcasting, I've said this before on this pod, he goes, because everybody wants to request to come on the podcast, right? All these big names, and once somebody's promoting a book or movie, mm-hmm. and he goes, you got to talk to the people you want to talk to. He said, and if you want to talk to them, that'll translate into interest from the listener. So and if you don't want to talk to them, you don't talk to them. And I saw that you were coming in town, and I've seen you before, but me and my buddy Isaac, when we were in eighth grade, his parents got DirecTV. So we had cable and Comic View.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, this almost makes me cry to talk about. We would sneak down.
And what?
We would sneak downstairs after his parents went to bed. He had this little like nook where the TV in the TV room, when he closed the doors. And that was like, it was cable. So it was dirty, but it was for us because we were Christian, very religious.
Yeah.
And then we would watch that over and over and over. And then right after you came on, came on right after Comic View? 5th and Park, 106 and Park.
106 and Park.
Yeah. And then I went on to, in college, I saw Cedric the Entertainer. And then after college, I saw The Pimp Chronicles by Cat.
Yeah.
And I said I wanted to be recording. I might not be a comedian if it wasn't for you.
Man, I appreciate that.
That's a true story, man.
Wow.
And the key thing, a true story. When I was doing Comic View, I don't know if you remember, I had a co-host named Rinaldo Ray.
Yep.
Rest in peace. You know, he passed away.
Yeah.
But he taught me so much. Like, everything he said, I was like, is that really going to work? He said, just try it.
Let's try
it. You know, he said, just try it. So he said, well, next time you go on stage, he said, turn your body to the right a little bit and do your joke. And I'm like, okay. And I do it and it worked. I'm like, what? He said, I used to do that on my fifth album. You know what I'm saying? He was like my mentor.
Tell you
he
how
was
to do
a
it.
Great guy, man. Yeah. He was smart. And he like when I come out and sometime he says, slow down. He said, when you're on stage, don't go so fast. Slow down. Pace yourself. And I do it, and it works every time. So big ups to Rinaldo.
What were those? I remember when it was, how many comics were on the show? 6 or 7?
Oh, yeah.
3 or 4.
I was in New Orleans for 32 days.
Yeah.
And I was doing 5 shows a day. We took off.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday. But Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
5 shows.
5 shows a day. And I'm just changing suits. And I was loving it.
Oh, you had suits.
I was tired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Luckily, the hotel was directly across the street. I got proposed to about 17 times a day.
Yeah.
The girl's like, I want to marry you.
That's different from the guy standing outside of the improv.
Oh, very much different.
Yeah, different. And then, but I remember whenever a comic would not do great, he would crush them, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He'd crush them.
I got to.
We would always love watching the comics. We'd like to see the comics do well, but then when a comic didn't, I was like, Bruce going to kill him, dude. He's going to kill him, dude. And he would come out and kill him.
This is what comic make their mistakes. This is where they make their mistakes. They would write a joke, right? And then they'd cut him and say, hey, I wrote this joke. I want you to hear it. I said, no, no, don't let me hear it.
Yeah.
Go on stage and do it. Oh, no. I think you'll feel better about it. Every single time when they tell me before they do it, they bomb.
It's going to bomb.
They bomb every time.
For sure.
One dude was almost about to cry. I said, you might as well cry because you bomb. You know, just do it. Just go out there and do it. If you do bad, but I think you'll be better with the crowd that's participating with you. And I'm sitting here. If I look at you, you come do it in front of me, I'll be like,
what you going to say to him that's going to help him?
If I look at you and I'm like, that was it? That was it.
You're on TV. This is your A+ material.
You got to go do it.
Because it wasn't like established. I mean, some were established.
Right.
But they were, I mean, if you're doing that many shows a day, and I didn't know that much about comedy. I do now, but they're not. Was there white people on there?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was.
Oh, yeah. It was a guy that he was.
Every now and then.
No, it was a few of them on there. One guy was on there. He was loving Rinaldo Ray. I mean, he was sweet as a June apple, you know, and. You know how that is. You know, do you think? He said, I love that man right there. He pointed Rinaldo Ray. Rinaldo Ray said, well, I tell you, I'm behind you 100%. Okay. You know, like that. Yeah. You know, he'll tell a joke like that. But it was a bunch of them there, man. It's
coming down. And a lot of
and I love when I have a mixed crowd. I really, really do. It makes you appreciate your craft and people loving what you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you
know. Did anybody pop from there?
Cat Williams did.
Did he?
Yeah, Cat came out and he used to be in Cat in the Hat. Cat came out.
He came on a Comic View?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. He did it with me. Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
He did. And who else popped from there? It was a lot of great.
We would have like recurring. Would you come back? Would they ask you back for the next season or whatever if you did well?
I wanted them to. The very next year, what they did, they picked a new comic every year.
Okay. Yeah.
So the year that I did it, it was the best year. It was really good. They got good ratings. So the next year they had promised it to Arnaz J.
To host.
Right, to host. Okay. And he was doing, I did it in New Orleans. He did it in, I was the Party Gras and he was in Miami doing the Caliente.
Oh, yeah.
And his season went okay and they called me back to help him.
Oh, yeah.
And I went back to host because I asked him, let me just host every year. I said, just let me be.
Yeah, just leave it with you.
Like they did 106 in Park. They had Free and AJ. They let them host it every year. I said, just let me host it. I mean, we'll just bring on new comics. I will teach them and let them know. And they're like, no, we just want to switch up. And,
I got you.
Yeah, they were switching it every year. And then I hosted a show called BET Coming to the Stage.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. Yep. And then they changed it with the gospel show. Mm-hmm. Kirk Franklin was hosting it. It was the exact same platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's BET Coming to the Stage, which was really good.
What do you think it's... Because I did Bill Bellamy one time.
Yeah, Bill is cool.
He was coming through town. And I was... Like, when I was younger, I was, like, fearless. I'd do anybody's show. Now, I just go in front of my own crowd. I'm too scared now. Oh, yeah. But I go, hey, can I do a guest spot or something? He said, yeah, come on down. And it was the Denver Improv. You been there?
Oh, of course.
Right next to that...
In the mall.
Next to the Bass Pro Shops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the good old boys.
And the, what's Toby Keith right next to there?
Toby Keith.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. So he said, come and do a guest spot. So I remember I going in there all black. This is my first, this is like probably 2013.
Yeah.
And I came on the beginning, like real, I was wearing like khakis and a button up, like just to be white.
Yeah, the average, average just white look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I said, I came up and I was real humble. I go, but this isn't really my demographic either. And I said, I got to do 5 minutes and I got to get back to being a waiter at the Toby Keith bar. And right. They all laughed.
Yeah.
And I did really, really well. So then the second show, I was like, oh, black people love me. And I came out real cocky and they.
Did you bomb?
Yes, bomb, dude. Yes, bomb.
Oh, man, I need to talk to them people. They shouldn't have booed you, man.
But black people, he said the church crowds are the friendliest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Black people will boo you.
Yes, they will.
To your face.
Yeah, and white people are like, you did a great job. Really good. You're going to be great.
Keep trying.
We're tonight, but you're going to be.
Keep practicing.
Because see, that's how they do in Hollywood. Like when you audition for a part.
Yeah.
And white people have a different way of saying no. That's a good see, black people it. Be like, no, you're not going to get it. But white people are like, well... He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah,
he really is.
Yeah,
beautiful hair, nice smile. Attitude is great. I mean, his energy.
They'll find
really
a way
good.
To compliment him.
That is a no all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and one thing I can respect about Larry David.
Yeah,
I auditioned for Curb the Enthusiasm, the part J.B. Smoove does.
Oh yeah,
and all the cast was sitting in the room, and I walked in. And he said, "We're going to go off. We're going to go off ahead." And he said, "Just go." With the first thing you want to do. That's okay. So I walks in. He said, so Bruce, you came to my house for a party and you went in the bathroom and you took a dump right in the bathroom. I said, yeah. I said, but the problem was I did the dump, but there's no toilet paper now. I said, what man doesn't have toilet paper in his house? I said, so I use your curtains, you know. and they start laughing and the cast start laughing. And we went through this whole thing and they came out and they asked me to step out the room for a minute. They came back and he was... he did it just like that. He said, we really love you. He said, really? He said, but we're going to go with JB Smoove.
Yeah.
But he told me right then. Mm. It wasn't, let me get back to the room and twirling my thumbs. He said, we're like, he said, but the next time we do something, we're going to call you. But I respected that.
Oh, he said it to your face.
You know, so he said right there. Yeah. The cast was down there. They like, you're really good. They say, really? It was really close.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I went behind JB Smoove one time in audition. I never do it again. Oh my God. Yeah. He was choking himself, throwing himself across the floor. I'm outside the door listening. So when I walked in for the audition, I said, I'm going to let you know right now, I'm not going to choke myself. I'm not going to throw myself across the floor. I'm going to do this audition. Dave was in there screaming, oh my God, he's funny. But guess what? He still didn't get the part.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dang.
His auditions are great. I mean, he's
an actor.
And he's funny. I mean, he's funny, man.
There's that one video of him bombing on, where is it, somewhere? He went out with Tiffany Haddish somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. JB Smoove is one of the best comics out there.
Oh, he's funny.
He's one of the first comics I ever saw.
He's the only comic I know was say something, then act it out.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Like he goes like, you know, kids, they just throw rocks. Everywhere you go, they throw rocks. And then he'd be walking down the street, doop, doop. Who's that throwing rocks? Doop. That's how he does. You know?
That's a good way.
Yeah, he's
well, why do you think the black community is so hard like that? Because they also take you to higher heights.
Because black people work hard for their money. Mm. And when they come out and see you, they want to see something. Mm-hmm. So if they don't see something, they're like, you know what? I spent all my money, got my hair done. Because, you know, black women, you know, they got to get their hair done, their eyes done, their makeup done. They got to get a new outfit. They got to get their nails done. You know what I'm saying? So when they do that.
Somebody's bombing up there. They don't have time for that. Mm-hmm.
That's how black people do. Man, you were funny. Man, you were great, man. The next guy, man, you were real funny. The next guy, how you doing, bro? And man, you look really good. You know, so.
Yeah, because the range in a white crowd, not the basement is not as far, and the ceiling, black crowd, the basement's farther, but the ceiling, I mean, people will be standing up, running around, like we're running out.
Yeah.
I go, where did that guy go? He goes, he's laughing so hard, he ran.
It's like Chris Rock, you know, he has a huge white following. Chris Rock, I mean, I know Chris, I love him dearly, but he came to Atlanta, he wanted to do Uptown Comedy Corner, right? So he said he wanted to do a black room.
Yeah.
So they advertise and everything. He gets to the club. It's all white people.
They all came over.
They all came to the club.
Yeah.
He's like, I came to do the black room. And it's all white people. 400 white people.
Yeah.
Only 10 black people in there. They was waiters and waiters. There's nothing wrong with that, man.
You know? Well, I was telling you before we got, I came up at the Laughing Skull Lounge.
Laughing Skull.
In Atlanta, which is a white club.
Yes, it is.
But they don't. Obviously, they don't say this. It's not on the door.
No.
But it's a very and like at the Uptown Comedy, is it club or corner?
Corner.
Uptown Comedy Corner is like I'd heard about it, but I didn't. I never went there.
Wasn't for you.
I don't know how else to say that.
He
is that fair? Did it.
If he was with me, he could have.
If he was with you,
I let my boy go up. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna do this.
Yeah. Do you think it's harder for a white comic, say a white comic to go into a black room or a black comic to go to a white room?
I think it's easier for a white comic to a black room. See, it's just like a black club and a white club nightclub, right? If it's all black nightclub and a white dude walk in, first thing black people gonna do, hey man, white dude just walked in. We don't care, we're gonna start dancing.
All right, yeah.
But if it's a white club, let's just say it's a good old country boy club, right? Soon as a black guy walk in, the music will stop.
No.
He'd be like, ding, 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 ding. Who let you in here? God dang it. Somebody care the door, man, because he's slipping. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's easier for a white person to go into a black establishment.
Yeah, yeah.
But you go to the good old boys, and they like,
oh, I guess you go that way.
Who are you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you want? Mm-hmm. Like, man, I'm just a beer man. I'm bringing beer. Just leave me alone. I'm going to get out of here. I used to deliver potato chips for Frito-Lay, right?
I heard that on your story.
I used to sell a bag and eat 3 bags. Let me tell you. And I'll never forget, I was in this part of Atlanta. It's called Marietta, Georgia.
I know Marietta.
And this is back in the 80s, man. And I was running a route for a guy. He was on vacation, right? I walked in this store and this guy looked me dead in my eye. He said, how long are you going to be here? I said, what time do I need to leave? Because I will make it very quick.
Yeah.
But I knew what he meant when he said that.
Yeah.
And I say, so I said, give me about 20 minutes, I'll be out your hair. He said, all right. He meant that. But some people just like that.
Yeah. And what do you think the if somebody has grown up, like the older generation has grown up experience and all that, do you see kids these days, you're like, that's not real racist?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know what it is. Like Lil Wayne said, he never experienced racism. And I could believe that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. I have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's real racism. Oh, my
goodness, man. Yeah, like, there used to be a guy in Atlanta named Jose Williams. I don't know if you remember him. He passed away. But he was a civil rights leader. You know, he was with Martin Luther King back in the day and John Lewis and Andrew Young.
Sure.
And he wanted to know why it wasn't any black policemen in Forsyth County. Now, first of all, who wants to be a black policeman in Forsyth County? I mean, that's Klan country.
In what year?
Oh, man. When he did this, it was in the 80s.
Yeah, in Forsyth.
Oh, Forsyth County.
Yeah, I know Forsyth. Yeah, yeah. That's out past Stone Mountain.
Oh, absolutely.
And Stone Mountain has all the Confederate.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. All the Confederate generals carved into the.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And I can never forget, they was talking to this guy, white guy. And he was not looking in the camera. So the camera this way, he was like this. He said, you know, Jose can come out here and march and do what he ever want to do. He looked in the camera. He said, if we catch him out the dark, it's going to be a problem. And he was dead serious.
See, I think this is in like the 1800s. This is in the 80s.
In the 80s, man.
Or like, this seems like forever ago.
And it's people still like that, man. I seen a guy coming down the highway, pickup truck, Chevrolet truck, Lord, flat black, Confederate flag for the headliner, and skinhead, you know. Mm-hmm. He passed me on the highway. He just looked at me, like, gave me this look like he wanted to kill me.
This seems like a...
And then he just turned back around. I did like this. What's up, bro? You know, I pissed him off. Yeah. What's that? He was like... just turned away.
That does kind of sound like it, actually.
Oh, yeah. But they, this is just the way they are, man. They can't help it.
Yeah.
When I grew up, it wasn't allowed. I mean, my uncle used to say, people are people. You don't treat people like that. So we didn't go that route. Mm. You know, my oldest son, when years ago, I used to be in the restaurant business. I had a manager. I was assistant manager. The manager, he dressed like the Oak Ridge Boys, you know, hair dipped up, hairspray, you know. Mimosola jacket, Jordache jeans, cowboy boots. Good dude. It's my man.
I'm wearing one.
So Mimosola jacket, he had every color.
Weird shot.
I mean, from yellow to dark yellow to gold.
Yeah.
So he had a son that was the same age as my son.
Right.
Right. And this is a white dude. So every Sunday we go play softball. So his son and my son always see each other. My son's name was Antoine. His name was Justin. He said, is Antoine going to be there? You know what I'm saying? They was the best of friends. So my point for saying this, they never saw color. They just saw that they was friends.
Yep.
So Justin get home and asked his dad, say, Antoine, can I ask you something about Antoine? He said, yeah, he's about 6 years old. He said, is that my cousin? Because he didn't know. He just knew he got along.
He was close.
And his dad said, no, it's not your cousin.
Yeah.
That's your soul, brother.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been cool ever since.
Yeah.
No, that's where it should be.
Yeah, that's to teach. Mm-hmm. You'd have to teach racism.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah,
man.
That's what we talked to by some. Otherwise, you wouldn't. Yeah.
Oh, man, you better believe them good old boys. I tell you what, you know, I don't care nothing about Nate, whatever. I don't care nothing about two or three. But I tell you what, they come over here, it's going to be a problem. And they mean that.
Yeah. But that's passed down. That's like passed down to them.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever taught them that, they're like, yeah.
And that's why back in the day, when your grandfather, this isn't a black family, the grandfather was mean as a snake because he took so much crap and off of people.
Oh, yeah.
When he get home, he's almost growling.
In that time. Yeah.
I was so scared of my granddad. Ain't no dude. Oh my God. This dude, 6'5". Super black.
Yeah.
I mean, black. But let me tell you what's crazy. He had royal blue eyes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He was a weird looking dude. But he did
Lord.
Not. He did not play the radio.
No.
Oh, my God. And then, you know, black men back then, they had 4 or 5 families. They didn't want nobody to know that. But when he died, we found out. Kids came from everywhere. That's my dad. What? 15 extra kids? What did they
You can do
from?
That before social media.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'd be in different neighborhoods.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Social media. The lady, that he's having these kids, but I was like two blocks away.
That's so crazy.
You can never do
Isn't that.
That
crazy?
I can't even imagine like thinking about that.
You know, man, it's just different in other countries. You know, like Africans, they have four and five wives. I had an African lady ask me, she said, you think your wife will let you have another wife? I said, and I looked off. I said, you talking to me? Because I didn't think you was talking to me. Yeah, I said, no. I said, my wife will kill you, lady.
Not only kill me, kill you.
I will kill you.
Yeah.
I said, no. I said, don't ever tell anybody you said that. My wife found out it's going to be some furniture moving. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man.
The best way to learn a language, baby, immersion. Mm-hmm. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But that's not the cards in America. Mm-mm.
No.
You can still learn a language the second best way. And that way is
Babbel,
baby. 1 in 5 Americans learn a new language on their, have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, oh yeah. This is the time for that, 2024.
No doubt. This is the year.
This is when you do it. If you're going to get Babbel subscription, you get it up top.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Get Start it up
early.
Top, baby.
Early and often.
Did you know learning actually makes a sound?
I've heard that.
It's true.
It is.
Listen. Yeah, dude. I like it. I like it when we build it up.
It is a sick
build
sound.
Build it up and give it, a little nice bit though. Of a,
I like it.
Play it again.
All right. That does feel good. It feels satisfying.
I do feel it.
I feel like I learned, even though I didn't.
I do feel like I learned. What about if 2024, if you got a little bit better every day? Hmm. People are talking about in the gym with their health. Dude, add a language to that.
Yeah.
Add a language to that. Some guys got to get a sports car. Some guys got to flash money around. Nah, dude, just learn a new language.
That's all.
You know what I've been watching? Well, I'll talk about that after. don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or no. What? No. Who's doing that?
No.
Absolutely not.
Or
waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak a new language. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversation. Studies from Yale, Michigan State, and others continue to prove Babbel is the best one-on-one study for 15 hours is equivalent of a full semester of college. That's actually unbelievable.
That's a crazy comparison.
Take your time back, baby. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners to get started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/net. That's babbel.com/net. 55% off at babbel.com/net. BABBEL.com/net. Or hit the link in the episode description below. Rules and restrictions may apply. And I've obviously watched your career the whole time. It seemed like the older you get, I feel like you got something to say.
Oh, yeah.
Like you got, like you were telling men about how to treat women. Yeah. And not that comedy, because my dad's a preacher.
Uh-oh.
And it does, the older and more fine-tuned a comedian gets, the more he, like, if you, like, I've been in this club 20 years.
Right.
And you start to think about life, and you go, I got something to say.
Yeah.
At the beginning, it's just jokes.
Right.
You just want to make them laugh. And now there's people in there that might need to hear a message that you're, or some kind of encouragement, or how to live, or how to work, right, or how to treat people. And there was... a lot of that.
You know, I heard that from, you know, I'm a James Brown fan. I am fanatic. And I actually went to his funeral.
Really?
And yeah, I did. And James, I heard him talk one time and he said, when you first come out on stage, you got to grab the people. He said, grab them.
Yep.
He said, once you grab them, then you can do whatever you want to do. And you ever notice James Brown always come out with a, da-da-da-da-da. He'll do like 3-4 songs in about 30 seconds.
You're going to have to tell Andrew who James Brown is. He never heard of him.
Never heard of James Brown? No. Oh, man. Come on, man. Dude.
No, we know.
Dude.
No, we know who James Brown is. But, yeah. But electric on stage.
Yeah, you just want to, you got something you want to say.
Yeah.
And people want to hear it. They actually want to hear it, especially when they love you and they respect you and they like your work.
I think they respected the arc of your career. So like a young comic at open mic, they'd be like, we don't want to hear this.
Oh, no.
But somebody that's earned it.
Oh, absolutely.
Over the course of time, you get something.
Especially
to say.
When you know about life, when you go through marriages and like your dad, you say he was a preacher, right? Was he a Joel Osteen type preacher?
Like
you know, God love you? No, is he a.
Is he I would say if there was a scale, it'd be on the second more Pentecostal preacher
for
the speaking in tongues.
Oh, yeah.
And I know about that. Yeah.
Falling all in the flow. When I first heard speaking in tongues, ladies scared me so bad. You know, I used to be in a holiness church.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Well, they holy dance and everything.
Pentecostal?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The lady jumped up, untie my shoe, untie my shoe, untie my shoe. I said, wait a minute. What is wrong with those shoes?
Yeah.
That's something I made up. Untie my shoe. That's speaking in tongues. Oh. Coming in the Hyundai. Coming in the Hyundai. God. I knew y'all would catch it.
I was with you. I was
untie my shoe, untie my shoe. I got that.
Yeah, you get that, right?
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
So you know all about speaking in tongues.
Oh, yeah.
But what's crazy is real, though. People don't think it's real, but it's real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can be abused.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I used to be up under a bishop, man. He was like, he was a prophet.
Yeah.
I mean, he prophesied my whole career to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a clue to what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And it happened. He's passed away now, but he was
what he said about you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
About what was going to happen in my career.
Yeah.
My comedy career. Because, you know, like most churches are very, very strict about what they do. You know,
there's
laws. You know, you can't. This church was so strict. They want you to go to the movies or, you know.
They see you out there. Somebody whispered. We saw Bruce Bruce in the movies.
You know.
Going to see Star Wars.
I'm like, that's stupid. Why can't I go to the movies? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then I joined Queflo's church.
Yeah.
And he said, it's a gift that God gave you. You need to use it.
Yeah.
You know, it was totally different. Mm-hmm. And I felt more relieved about it. Holiness churches, where they have you condemned, you be thinking like, I am going to hell in the morning.
Yeah, if you say they see you on stage, you say a curse word or something like that. Oh, yeah. That's like, hey, we need to, but there you're like, hey, he's over a kind of a, that's what they do over there, or a little bit more of an understanding.
Absolutely,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And you're out there probably speaking to people that nobody from the church would ever.
Right.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a Baptist church.
They're hearing you and that's it. Yeah.
I grew up in a Baptist church. You know, you walk in, shh, be quiet.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking, be quiet.
They didn't, The holiness people didn't probably they didn't probably love you being in the Yin Yang Twins.
Yin Yang Twins. What? Yeah. I enjoyed them guys, man.
I remember those lyrics. It was get drunk with it, get loose with it.
Like Short said, let Bruce hit it. And the reason they said that,
Too Short
made a song called Shake That Monkey.
I know.
And
that
in
song.
The song, yep. He say, "All the skinny girls let Bruce hit it."
Yeah,
and then. Yin Yang Twins came back with Lil Jon and said, get crunk with it, get loose with it. Like Short said, let Bruce hit.
Oh, so that was a callback.
Yes, exactly.
From an other song.
Did you know that's coming? Did you know it was coming out or did you hear it for the first time?
We just liked that in Atlanta. Yeah. We just show love. And our Outkast video, I've been knowing them when they started. I remember when they started. And I never forget, they called me to do So Fresh and So Clean video. So my manager was like, are you sure you want to do this? You know, because he didn't know about Outkast. I say,
how?
Trust me.
Yeah.
You want to do this. Mm-hmm. I say, they're super hot. They're going to show it on TV every day for the next 6 months, like 52 times a day. I said, trust me. And I turned the money down. They tried to give me money. I think it was like 10 grand. I said, no, because they were my boys. I mean, I was like their big brother. I said, I don't want them. I said, give it to somebody else that can use it. I said, but I just want to be in the video.
Wow.
And when I swear,
wow.
When I did the video, they called me for the movie The Wash.
Really?
The dude saw me like, I want him in The Wash.
Yeah.
See, it's just other things happen. A lot of times it's not about money. It's just about loving what you do.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? It's like loving what you do. And Outkast, they called me for another movie, Idlewild. You remember Idlewild?
Yep.
I was in that with Patti LaBelle. Then they called me for another movie called Who's Your Caddy?
Yep.
I was the bookie on the golf course. So they called me for everything.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it goes to next phases. A lot of people don't get it, though. Everybody's they're always about the money. Let me give me the money. The money's going to come. If you love what you do and you enjoy what you do, trust me, the money will
follow. I see that all the time where we had a comedian who said, he'd come and do a guest spot on our show, a comedian that I really liked.
Yeah.
And he'd come and do a guest spot on the show. And we do big theater.
Mm-hmm.
Comes do 5 minutes. And he goes, I'm going to do a merch pitch. I go, well, you can, but that's probably the end.
But he want to do a merch pitch on your show?
For his merch.
No.
Yeah, if Outkast would have called you and your first question was how much, they go,
right.
Never mind. Mm-hmm. Because that's what, you know what I'm saying? Exactly, like, you're not here because, but if you've been at Zany's for 20 years, we made money. We've been making money. You can tell you've been in there for however long, and you walked down on stage last night, like as most as just like you did on Comic View.
Yeah.
Happy, thrilled.
Oh yeah.
Where else you want to be?
And I never forget when Adam, my manager, he said, "She wanna do this video?" I said, "Yeah, I wanna do it." And then after everything happened, he said, "I would have never believed it."
You know, because
I mean, my ticket sales went up, everything just went up.
Man. Oh yeah.
It was just cool. And they're still good guys. I still see them all the time now. They're older, but they're still good guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? What do you think the, I always wondered this, the, so Lavelle come through.
Lavelle Crawford.
Yeah. And we were in there. It's a difference between a white and a black crowd too. A white crowd, I mean, I'm backstage at my show.
Yeah.
And I'm getting DMs. Hey, it said it started at 7. It's 7:05. Where are you at? And that's- Lavelle will be, you already know where this question's going. He'd be, because I know Dorfman, he goes, he's in the bath and it's set, the show starts at 7, it's 7 and the feature act is just going, like, and the late show starts an hour and a half late. Is that a cultural, my crowd would be boycotting.
Oh man, I don't,
they would have that. Nothing to do with that.
I don't play that. It's got, you come to start on time, on time. It yeah. got to go on time. There's no reason. It's some clubs that I stopped doing because they do that.
Mm, yeah.
Now I have it in my contract, the show must start on time.
Has to.
Have to.
Yeah.
If not, we're going to penalize you.
You.
The club.
Oh, yeah. We're going to, yeah.
And I have them now. Hey, 5 minutes, we need to start the show. You know, get on there because they know.
So that's not a black-white thing. That's just a preference of different comics. Yeah.
And a lot of clubs used to do it back in the day. Try to milk the crowd for more food, drinks.
Yeah.
Then the guy go up there after the host. Everybody get there. You got a host and a feature and a headliner. And then the host come back up after the headliner and do 30 more minutes because they're just trying to get more money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for the food and drink. Mm-hmm. And they're splitting that.
I can't believe you get DMs from people at 7:05. That's crazy.
Oh, I do. Where we drove, we out a babysitter, and we I'm doing a white guy in my own accent.
Yeah.
I heard we have a babysitter.
That sounds right though. Yeah. Hey, dude, I got to be at work in the morning. Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Well, it is funny that because during we're just obsessed with telling jokes, and I've heard the same thing about Jerry Seinfeld. He said he was sitting on the back deck. And he made his buddy laugh. And he goes, I just want to do this for the rest of my life. He just, and then money came and all the other stuff came. But like he was just obsessed with doing it. And when COVID happened, me, Nate Bargatze, some of the other comics in town, we were doing shows in parking lot.
I did too.
We just liked to do it.
Enjoy what you're doing.
That's it.
Enjoy what you're doing. But you know, when I worked a couple of jobs for a long time, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew that I was funny. And I'm working in a restaurant. It's a quick story. And I was assistant manager. I was young. I was about 19 years old, 20. And I hired this black guy. And I'm in the kitchen. I'm clowning. We having fun in the kitchen. Because I always like to be in there with my employees, just having fun. I don't want nobody mad or anything. So the black guy I hired used to watch me. He says, hey, let me ask you something. I said, what is it? He said, you ever been on stage? I said, no. He said, you need to go on stage. I said, how do you know that? He said, trust me when I tell you. He said, I'm going to bring you something tomorrow. Wow. He comes back the next day with an album, just like on your wall.
Yep.
It was him. He was a comedian.
Really?
He was a comedian. He had went in the Navy. He retired from the Navy. He worked for the company before. It was a barbecue restaurant. He said, only thing, he was an alcoholic. And he said, trust me when I tell you, you got it. I never forget he told me that. So the album was him. It was hilarious.
It was his album.
It was his album. He was on the front of the cover.
Wow.
Yeah. He said he used to be on and off the plane all the time. And he wrote my first set for me.
Yeah, helped with it.
Yeah. And but I was young, man. I was married at 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I had to make more money for my family. So I quit the restaurant business, started working for Frito-Lay Potato Chip. I thought it was more money.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went on that job and went through, you know, a bunch of crap. But he wrote this joke. He wrote one joke about a preacher couldn't read. And he had a midget up on the pulpit reading for him.
As one does.
You know what I'm saying?
As one does. Sure.
Yeah, so, and it was funny. It was hilarious. But He's passed away. He died at the age of 89. I think at the time when he was working for me, he was like 59.
Yeah.
You know, and but he was, his name was, his real name was Willie Dismuke. And his stage name was Reverend Mule. And he was a duet with another guy. It was Reverend Mule and Dr. Arrowhead. And on the front of the album, the guy Arrowhead was in a catcher's position with a catcher's mitt on.
Yeah.
And he was standing there at bat, like he batting, but he had a tree in his hand, a whole tree.
Okay.
And the name of the album was called So You Want to Know Baseball. All right. And it was hilarious. It was hilarious.
It's a different era.
He called me out, man. He called me out. He said, you need to go. You know, I had a wife who was super crazy, you know, just really crazy.
So now you got a different one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I know how that works. If you don't say the current one's crazy.
And she's super crazy too. Yeah. But the thing is,
different kind.
See, we didn't know back then when people act crazy, we didn't know anything about the word bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Triple bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, tripolar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he used to tell me, he said, I don't know if you're going to be able to make it with her.
Yeah.
He used to say that. You know?
This is the guy you hired?
Yeah.
This is a little.
Hired him, man. He was a bad dude, man. And there was a reason why I hired him, because he kind of pushed me on my way.
Yeah.
But then when I went to Frito-Lay, I never should have went to Frito-Lay.
Yeah.
And I used to act so crazy in the kitchen. My waitress was like, Bruce, you're so funny. He's so funny. And I just never took it serious. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But then the first time I went on, when I started working for Frito-Lay, they hired a guy to do a show for us. I can't think of his name, but he used to dress up like a priest and had a flask. You know who I'm talking
white
about.
White comic?
Yeah. And I never forget, I asked him. He's an old comic now.
Not Ron White.
Not Ron White. This dude dressed up Scotch. Like a priest with the long robe.
Oh, yeah.
Black robe with the collar. The Pope hat. You know what I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And I never forget, I asked him, I said, can I ask you something? Because, you know, I was doing stand-up. I was doing amateur night.
Yeah.
I said, can I ask you how much they paid you, if you don't mind? He said, well, if you don't tell anybody, they gave me 30 grand. I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is back.
This is 87.
Yeah. That's a change your life.
That's crazy.
You made more money than that in a year.
Oh my God.
At Frito-Lay. You say 30. You made more money.
And I never forget, Jay Leno did a commercial for Frito-Lay with Doritos. You probably don't remember this. He's like, you ever had a bag of Doritos? And he did this commercial. And I went up to him. I said, man, I'm an inspired comedian. I want to do comedy. He said, what are you waiting on? I never forget he said that. And I said, well, I'll see you at the top. And I'm just talking. And I go. I established myself and I was a stand-up comic, and I go to this club in Hermosa Beach, California.
Comedy Magic Club.
Right.
Yep.
Jay Leno was there. Mm. And I went back and talked to him. And I said, Jay, you remember you did this commercial about Doritos? He said, yeah, for Frito-Lay. And I said, it was a comedian. A guy wanted to be a comedian. He looked at me, he said, Bruce, that's not you, is it? He remembered. I said, yep, that's me.
Wow.
This is like 20 years later. I said, this is me.
He remembered?
He said, great job.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were, at that time, a comedian.
Oh, yeah. I was established and everything.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Jay is cool, man.
That's crazy. That's an unbelievable story.
What was like the, once you felt like, okay, like I'm doing comedy, I'm in, what was the goal for you? Where, like, was it, I want to get into movies as well? Did that just come as part of it?
I didn't think about movies. Okay. I was just really, really wanted to do stand-up. Mm. You know, and I was married at the time, and my ex-wife said, you'd never make it. And I'm like, really? I'll see you on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that'll motivate you.
That put a lot of fuel on the fire. When she said that, I'm like, you crazy. And I never forget when I went on stage for the first time. And I walks on stage, and this guy looked at me and said, oh, look at this fat guy coming on stage like that. I'm like, oh, I say, hey, man, is that shirt silk? Or are you eyeing it too much? Which one is it? You know? And he was real small. I said, I've never seen jeans that small where the back pockets are touching. You know,
that's wild.
You know what I'm saying? So killed him. And
The
crowd went crazy. Like, and I'm like, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like, this is where you're supposed to be.
Mm,
I knew that's where I was supposed to be right then.
Cool.
And I used to have this guy in Atlanta. His name, he was from Chicago. His name was Chris Charles. The day this guy put his eyes on me, he hated me. He never knew. So I used to do amateur night. He never would put me up. And I could have easily walked away and be like, forget this, man. I'm not doing comedy. I just kept coming. So I went to him, hey, man, are you going to put me up? I signed the list. You know, you have a list with 10 people.
Oh, yeah.
You do 3 minutes a piece. Oh, yeah. You're like, yeah, man, a bunch of people going up. You're brushing me off. You know, yeah, a bunch of people.
I'll get you up.
Yeah. I said, look, do I need to talk? You are the owner. I said, because you will not put me up. And, man, when I went up, I killed it. That's when I messed with the guy. So when I come off stage, this guy says, I'll be honest, man, you're funny, man. You're funny. I said, let's get something straight. I said, you don't like me and I don't like you. Let's keep it like that. I said, but just respect, when I come in and sign the list, put me up.
Fair to everybody.
That's the same thing I want you to do. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's all. I said, you don't have to say anything else to me. And he brought everybody up with so much energy. Next brother coming
keep
to the
going,
stage.
Keep it going. Oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
guy's
yeah,
very yeah, funny. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This guy coming up next, y'all know him, fat dude, Bruce. Like that.
Sick.
I said, what a intro, dude. Brother.
Thanks.
You know what I'm saying?
Not doing you any favors.
Then I come up and kill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm doing comedy. I don't know where this dude at.
No, of course not.
Never seen him anymore.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah.
That's it. And then, but now you're out. Who you go out with now? Cedric?
No, I do tours with them, but I got a team that I go out with like last night.
When it's your show.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at
last week. I was with Cedric, DL, Earthquake, Lunel, and Damon Williams. Great show.
That's the opposite of the Cat Williams Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I was going to say
I think he got all of them. Yeah. I think he got all of them.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Everybody but DL. He said he loved DL.
He likes DL. Yeah.
Did you watch that interview?
I did, man.
You thinking, is he going to say my name next?
Oh, if he did, it'd been some furniture movies. You know, but yeah. I don't know. I think he was telling the truth. I really do. Mm. I don't think he would get on a live interview and just be lying. I think he knows something. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you in a weird spot. No. Can you fact check anything he was talking about in terms of like industry plant type things? Guys being placed into spots they might not supposed to be in.
You know how the Waffle House guy with the map?
Yeah.
Show that same map to Earthquake. See if he can read.
Oh.
The same map.
Let me tell you something, man. I have went into auditions, right? Walked in the room, set up with cameras, lights. This person sitting right here with the camera. This person going to read with you when you do your lines. And I have walked in and said this. I said, is this really an audition or just you're doing a favor?
Oh, yeah.
And when I say that, they would look at each other. I said, you guys are doing a favor, right? I said, because you got to pick who you want it.
For somebody's agent or somebody. Yeah, we saw him. We looked at him.
And it's your agent trying to make you think they're doing a job for you.
Mm, yeah.
But when I say that, they look at each other.
Audition.
Yeah, they go look at it. They go, oh. I said, this is a favor, isn't it? Mm. And one lady say, yeah, we're having to pick somebody for the part. I said, take care. Hmm. So.
Is there a decent
they got deal? Who they want.
Yeah.
Like, to answer your question, they know who they want to be next. You know what I'm saying?
And
you might as well just get used to it. The only thing I can do is just keep working on the road, making money, taking care of my family, and having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Is there a bunch of trying to think if there's this way in the comedy community, is there a bunch of people choosing sides or no? Is it that from the podcast, people don't like each other?
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, man. It's all the time.
Yeah.
But when it's business. I mean, just do the part. I remember, same thing with Shay Shay Show, the podcast. My manager said, are you sure you want to do this podcast? I said, of course. I said, it's really hot. It's doing good. Let's do it. And then when I did it, everybody said, I saw you on Shay Shay. You're great.
Yeah.
I saw you on Shay Shay. So,
I mean, everybody's talking about that cat pod.
Oh, yeah.
You talked about it at the show last night.
One day. He got 14 million views.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
14 nuts. Million.
That is
the clips are everywhere right now.
Well, I somebody told me, my buddy Shama, he goes, dude, check this. And in the first 90 seconds, he's saying names.
He derailed the interview. Oh, yeah. Immediately, he was like, I have some things I want to run through first. He just ran through.
And then he told Shannon, hey, you let them come on your show. And Shannon like, hey, I didn't have nothing to do with that. You know,
Shannon asked him a question, and he said, you should have asked Cedric that.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah.
But I feel like maybe he's saying that. Because he's buddies with all these guys and he's roasting them. And then I was like, oh, no, this doesn't seem like he's buddies with him.
When he said Diddy likes to party and you have to tell him no,
it's like, oh
my goodness.
Boy, chill, dude.
And I had my son-in-law to call me. have you seen this podcast? I said, no, I'm going to send it to you, right? I'm going to send you the whole clip.
Yeah.
And he sent it to me, and I was like, whoa, what is going on? Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, I don't know. If I had, like, I mean, I listened, and I kind of, like, wanted to be more, like, take more shots. I was, like, inspired, like, oh, I'm going to tell the truth. But I'm not. I'm not.
Me neither.
No, I'm not going to do it.
I'd be like.
It also sounds like he just has ammo. Like, I think he's got an arsenal of tales that he could
like
tell.
Like Rambo with the bullets all across.
Yes.
He could just every but, time I
mean,
he
that
says get,
that man, I mean, he has a laundry list of movies that he's been in, but that guy's been doing arenas since 2008.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's selling, the most and money. Selling them out.
That's the most money.
Mm-hmm.
And selling them out. It's not a joke.
He said to be qualified, it needs to be 10 mil.
Yeah, dude.
To be qualified to like consider.
Oh, man. He made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And still is.
People still love Cat.
Yeah.
And I love him.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few comedians I like. Tony Roberts is one. Yeah. You ever heard of Tony Roberts? Mm-hmm. His energy is really good, but he will say some stuff that you never heard. Like,
yeah.
He told me that I heard him say on stage, he was dating this girl and her breath was so bad, her breath smelled like a horse's hiccups. So I'm like, how did you think of that? A horse's hiccups. It caught me off guard and I started laughing because he's funny. He's real energy on stage. He moves around a lot and he's extremely funny. Yeah, I like Tony Roberts. I really do. That's like Mike Epps. Yep.
Epps.
Yep. I like Epps, yeah.
Well, Arnaz is still out there.
Oh, yeah, man, doing his thing.
Been doing it.
Yeah. You know, Arnaz was a Harlem Globetrotter. Did you know that?
No.
Dude. He was. He what? Was. Yeah, back in the day, he was a Harlem Globetrotter.
Arnaz J?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Little bitty dude doing his thing.
Well, it's interesting because Zany's is it's not any kind of club. It's just a club. Like in Denver, you have Comedy Works and you have the Improv. Comedy Works, white club. At least Comedy Works South.
I did that before.
Yeah. Improv is an urban club. Two people that don't know comedy, that's probably most cities. Atlanta, I said I came with the Laughing Skull, which is a white. Now, it's not on the door, again, but it's like that line outside of Zany's, you know who's in there based on the line.
That's right.
Yeah, because sometimes you get one of those YouTubers.
Oh, yeah.
They're real young. They're real. And then you got there's an urban comic.
Yeah.
Black line, all black, all the way around.
Yeah, because you know, like when you said something about Comedy Works.
Yeah.
I used to do that club.
Yeah.
I never did the mainstream club. I did the one downtown in Denver.
In the basement.
Right. And when I start doing the improv, she like, if you do the improv, he could never come back to the Comedy Works.
Wow.
And she banned me from it. But I love Comedy Works. I did. But what I had to look at was the longevity.
Yeah.
You know, the improv has 100 improvs. So
I got
to do that in order to stay in all the improvs. And she was a great lady. Her name was Wendy. She's a great lady.
Curtis.
Yes.
Yeah.
If he did that club, he's never coming back here.
Yeah.
And she told the truth.
She sounded angry.
Yeah.
Wendy Curtis, same thing with Brian Dorfman. She, I'll never forget, it was $250 to headline, like an off-night headline.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? You couldn't sell any tickets. That will give you $200, like a local headliner.
Yeah.
And I remember I just started, like viral videos just started kind of popping for me. And I sold it out.
Wow.
And it's like a 300 seat room. And she brought me a check for $5,000. She goes, this is for you. Didn't have to. And she goes, we all know the numbers here. Mm. I said I'd pay you $250. That would be, I've been working at that club for years for free.
Right.
She goes, in a way, like you're going to be a nod, you're going to be doing comedy a long time and I want you to come back to my club. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, a check with a comma. You remember the first time we got a check with a comma?
Oh, yeah.
It was, from work, from comedy.
Yeah, I've seen some big checks before.
Yeah. All right, Bruce, we get it.
I
have seen big checks Bruce for
a couple commas.
Yeah.
Comedy clubs.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, one night I had a one-nighter in Chicago. It was New Year's Eve, and I had the same night, I had another show in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, we tried to cancel one, but neither promoter wanted to cancel. So the shows at different times. So I did the show in Chicago, got on a private jet, flew to Memphis, did the show there.
Oh, yeah.
And
wow.
What's that PJ jet money? I think the jet cost me like $7,000 to do that. But I made $100,000 in that.
Mm-hmm. Worth it.
That's when I stopped stripping. I
said, yeah, hey, this might.
I make good money stripping, but this.
This might do it.
Yeah, this might do it.
Well, what is, and you talked a little bit about this last night. What do you think the biggest problem kind of plaguing the genre of stand-up comedy these days?
Well, internet have took it to a whole different level. I mean, but the problem with internet comedians, I love them. And I want
explain
them to
what
make
you mean
it
by internet comedian.
Somebody that made it on the internet.
Okay.
You know, like I've been grinding for 35 years. All right. But when you do your act on the internet or, you know, social media, make sure you have more than what you're showing on the social media. Yeah. More than the 5 minutes. Like 5 minutes, you can be hilarious.
Yeah.
But when you go to these comedy clubs or the theaters, you got to do 20, 25, 30, 35.
Yeah. An hour.
Just have more.
Yeah.
You know, I have no problem when I love them. Like the 85 South show, I've been schooling those guys and they listen and they be doing their thing. Now, the funny is good. But I've been schooling them on keeping their business straight. Make sure that you have an accountant. Make sure you have someone to make sure, you know, every year tax time, you pay your taxes because just like we're watching, they're watching.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
They see that arena. They see absolutely. You fill out that arena.
Absolutely. And they do, and they do very well.
Oh, yeah.
They do very well.
Oh, yeah.
So they got the funny. They did a show in Macon, Georgia, back in the summer around, I think it was
around. Oh, and they're at 85 South. They're Atlanta guys, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they did a show in Macon, so they kept telling everybody they sold like 7,000 seats, right? So they said, we got a special guest coming.
Yeah.
So everybody was like, okay. So they before they brought them out, because they on stage together,
yeah,
right? They had three other comedians that traveled with them to go up. And the host said, listen, we told you we had a special guest. And this guy's like our mentor. And matter of fact, he is our mentor. He's very funny. You all know him. He hosted Comedy View. And they was like waiting. They was like, he was on Def Comedy Jam, BT Comic View. He hosted Comedy View. He said, y'all give it up for Bruce. Let me tell you something. When I tell you, those people lost their mind. When I walked out there, they lost their mind. I couldn't even talk. They was clapping for like 5 minutes.
That's unbelievable.
And I came out and I said, man, I've been all over the world. I did the joke. It's a dude in the back with false teeth with braces. I've never seen that in my life. You know, he said he didn't want his teeth to shift. They are false. They're not going to shift. And they went crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I did it. I just drove down there for that. It's an hour from it, not an hour, 5 minutes. And right there, those people are making going to come. Next time I come, they're coming to see me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
So you got to really plant that seed. Mm-hmm. Man,
yeah.
You know?
And you say maybe that's 85 South. Maybe there's some younger people in that crowd absolutely. That maybe wasn't familiar.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that they did now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's going to be unbelievable. And you walk out. They probably didn't know who it was. They're like, is it Andre 3000? Who is it?
When they start calling my name, when they start calling what I did, and they were like, who is it? Who is it? Who? They was, they was like on the edge of the seats.
Oh, yeah.
They say, I know he's from Atlanta, Georgia. Give it up for Bruce. Oh, my goodness.
What do you think? What's the, if that was the height, what do you think would be the, what's the worst he ever did?
I don't know.
Never did bad?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But the people didn't know it. I knew it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like people are like, you had a great show. And I'm like, not really. You know, I'm like, no.
They didn't know. Yeah.
You didn't know, but
yeah.
If you see me when I'm on, I'm on.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm my worst critic. So.
Yeah, we all are. Yeah. And I think maybe I heard on Shay Shay, or maybe you didn't talk about it last night, is that you met your dad at 40.
I did.
Is that correct?
I actually found him when I was 40.
You found him.
Yeah, my dad. Mother and father divorced when I was like 4 or 5.
Okay.
And he never came around. Never sent any money. Never. Like most mothers, like, he didn't send nothing. You know, he'd be on sending like $50 or something. This dude, never.
In town or no?
Yes,
no.
He was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I had a private detective to find him. And I knew he was in the
Air
Force.
That's when you know you got money. Oh, you got hiring a private detective.
I had a private detective find him. And I knew he was in the Air Force. I knew he was, I remember him well. And I knew in the Air Force he was a medic.
Yeah.
And he flew choppers, because I never forget. He flew me and my mother to Puerto Rico, and he was flying a helicopter.
And when you were four?
Yeah, four or five.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was an anesthesiologist. He was a doctor.
That's money. That's money.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when I met up with him, I met him at a restaurant. He used to be called Gladys Chicken and Waffle in Atlanta, right?
I feel like this fits into a lot of stereotypes, but I'm not going to let this I'm not going to let Gladys, that go.
Sounds
yeah.
fire.
Sounds fire.
So when I started talking to him and I started telling him the things that I remember, it freaked him out. He said, he was five. I said, but I remember it though.
Yeah.
I said, I remember you took me to a toy drive, because my dad was, every time he was in the military, when he come home, like he had 60-day leave, he would always get a job. He never sat around.
No days off.
He would drive a bus for the city of Atlanta, or he was a cop, one of the two. So he was a cop for 2 months, and they had a children's drive for Christmas. And when we get there, they told him the wrong time that the children drive. When we get there, all the toys was gone.
Okay.
So my pops went like, hey, why did you, we supposed to get here at 6. Why you didn't tell me? They told him 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So 8 o'clock, everybody done got the toys and left and did it. And my dad was pissed, right? And one guy threatened him, and he said, well, you know where I live. You know, and the good old boys came over there, and they had a shootout.
At your house?
Yeah. My dad was letting them have it.
What do you mean a shootout?
Oh, they came to wreck his house, and they was pissed at him.
Oh, yeah.
And they shot at the house. He shot back. Oh, and
you said, so your dad, you remembered this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He shot back. I mean, he shot back 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
He hit two of them. They was on the back of a pickup truck.
Really?
Oh, he got me.
You remembered?
I do. Wow. I remember that. I told him that. He was like, he just looked at me.
Yeah.
He said, you remember that? Because he told my mother, keep Bruce in the back room. But I slipped out of the room. I was looking. I was looking. I saw him. Yeah.
Wow.
He was a cool dude, though. He was cool. My mother ran him off, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most women won't admit it. She ran him off. She did. My dad used to play golf at night, you know. My mother said, can you play golf at night? I said, I don't know, but my daddy does. Yeah.
All the time.
Playing golf at night.
Yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
Big night golf guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And see, my mother was, like, very naive, and she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just leave. Get the golf clubs. See y'all later.
Dude, we say, hey, how do you know your marriage is not going well?
My husband
plays golf at night.
Play golf at night. And it ain't putt-putt golf either.
15 hours a day.
Yeah.
I'm playing at night.
He was a smart dude. And I actually have a son. It's crazy, but looks just like him.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Like your
dad. My dad's passed away now.
Yeah.
And my mother, but looks just like him. And I never forget, I said, man, I got 3 kids, man. And you got 3 grandkids. He said, really?
Yeah.
You know, he said, good. But when I first met him, he was on the defense. You know, he was like ready for anything I had to say. You know, he was, and I say, man, I said, get the wind out your chest. I said, everything's
cool.
When
you met him, he was, you're going to hate him or discuss at him.
I just come to see you. I want to see how he was doing. I say, I don't want nothing. I say, I got
The private detective found his number.
Found him.
And
talked to him.
And say, your son's looking for you.
Your son's looking for you. And so, what happened,
when the
private detective was calling him, he wouldn't answer the phone.
Okay,
and then he left me. He said, I'm a private detective. Your son, Bruce, is looking for you.
He said,
he picked up.
Your son, Bruce.
Yeah, he picked up. But it's crazy. He knew who I was.
Oh, wow. He did.
He said, when I first saw you on TV, I knew exactly who you was.
Imagine.
Is that crazy?
Imagine seeing your kid on TV years later like that.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
But he would have a shame. He didn't want to reach out then. Why wouldn't he?
He didn't, though. He didn't reach out, and I found him, though. And my mother's like, why do you want to find him? You know, your mother's always had
him. Yeah,
yeah. Why do you want to find him? I said, well, I just want to have a little closure, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found him. He was cool, and I stayed in touch with him. And
wow. Yeah.
I never forget, he told me, he said, they found some cancer in my body, right?
Yeah.
And I said, you're going to be all right? And he did like this. He shook his head, no.
At the lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, you serious? And Because my mother this year would be dead 14. He's been dead 17 years. Yeah. Yeah. My mother's my heart, though. That was my girl.
Yeah. Mm.
Ain't nothing like mothers.
Oh, yeah.
You know something about mothers? Yeah. They can have a child that have robbed a church, shot 20 people. No matter what kind of trouble he in, that mother's going to be right there with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's wrong on every level it is, but she's going to be right there.
Never turn her back on.
Never. Yeah. Never.
What's your relationship with the Lord like now?
Oh, man. It's great, man.
Creflo got you.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Most comedians, before a show, they have to drink, smoke. I do none of that.
Yeah.
I pray a lot. Pray a lot.
Yeah.
I say a prayer. I say it early in the morning. I say it in the middle of the day. I say it before the show, and I'm good.
You said last night you just a prayer and maybe some chicken wings.
Chicken wings. And don't give me 10. I mean, 10 is for the, 10 is for the baby. You know what I'm saying?
10's for the baby.
10's the appetizer.
Yeah.
Okay, we start with 10.
But we'll end on this. But I from Shay Shay, I heard, and I never heard this before, and I've been in the comedy club, black, white, everybody for a long time. He said, I'm going to tell this to y'all for the first time. Black people, you know, you're going to be surprised when you hear this. Only use French dressing.
Yeah, we didn't know nothing about blue cheese. We didn't know blue cheese was blue.
What about ranch?
No, it's two dressings.
Black people don't like ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing?
I know.
$1,000.
That's I've never heard of this.
Okay.
You know, we didn't know nothing about
no blue ranch? Cheese.
He goes,
no.
Black
with
people
wings?
Only, that's what I said. I was hitting the computer. I go, this
French
cannot be true.
Dressing.
That's it.
What?
I know.
Well, I got something new to try now. I never had wings with French dressing in my life.
I never had French dressing.
No, French dressing on a salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what French dressing is.
You know, when I got in the restaurant business and I saw blue cheese, I said, what is that? Because I didn't know.
I see that about French.
You're like, they have other ones of these?
I had a guy work there. His name was Kenny Elrod. Yeah, you know, he was a white guy. He said, you never heard of blue cheese?
He's back.
I said, no, it's crazy. Where have you been? Up on the rock? You know, so it was common.
Yeah.
But it's all French dressing.
That's crazy.
I know.
Dang.
I go, wait. And I was listening to a podcast and I was like, hold on, wait, what?
Let me tell you something else black people do. Whenever a black person get a steak, it is well done. Yeah, nobody, my sister-in-law, don't want to eat a steak rare.
Yeah.
She said it tastes better. And when I tried it, I'm like, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you see some pink in a steak?
No.
In a black house? My uncle said, you need to put that back in the steak. Tell you right now.
It ain't done.
You know, yeah.
I think I heard it said, and we've probably said this on the podcast before, is that racism is saying this race is superior to this race. But calling out differences in race in is not racism.
No.
You say, we like this, we do this. It's like, that's not racism. And that's, people confuse that today.
Yeah, they do.
It goes, well, no one's superior for the different kind of dressing. That's just what black people like.
That's what they like.
I knew we were gatekeeping on some stuff. I didn't know we had dressing too.
Dang, that was crazy. Man. No, never heard it. Never. Nobody in ranch. If you go to, what was the chicken and waffles place called?
Gladys Knight.
You go into Gladys Knight's chicken and waffles, you say, let me get some ranch. They're going to say,
what?
No, dude.
Some what?
No way.
Years ago, I don't know if y'all remember this TV show. It was called Wild World of Sports. Okay. That's where they show golf and everything. I thought golf was the boringest game to watch on TV until Tiger Woods came.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
cool.
All the black people looking at golf. Man, you see Tiger?
Yeah.
Yeah, but who watches golf?
Yeah.
But I heard it. I never played golf, but I heard it was a great game to play.
You
play golf?
At night.
At night? My daddy did it. See, if he did it, I know it was cool.
He was good. Crazy, real dude. Good. Yeah.
I play a little bit of golf. I play, well, on the road. What do you do during the day on the road?
Man, I like cars. I like cars.
The Buicks.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Buick man.
I heard.
My granddaddy told me, look, if you ever get your car, get your Buick.
Oh, yeah.
He used to have a 56 Roadmaster, 3-speed on the column. I thought he was a genius. You know, he'd come down the street, go to second, go to third. I like, this dude is bad.
When
you can shift on the tree,
you're
a bad dude. And I learned how to do it just watching him. So I got a lot of Buicks. I fell in love with GS Skylarks and GS Rivieras. I got Wildcats, convertible Wildcats, convertible Skylarks. I got 10 Buicks.
So you'll drive them when you're on the road?
No. I don't leave them anywhere.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I drive them. If I drive them here, I'm looking at the one there right now. But they showroom. They showroom.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's like that Cedric That's bit awesome. About going to space with the smoking cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, turn the music down. Oh, yeah.
You ever notice when black people get lost in the car? It's, man, we lost. Turn the music down. Like, that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Let's get turn the music down. We lost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell people that don't know what you got going on. You're promoting you on tour.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm promoting my tour. You can go, my social media is at MyBruceBruce. That's my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at MyBruceBruce. And I like for people to tell me what they like and what they don't like.
Yeah.
Because I can fix it. You know what I'm saying? Don't get on and bash me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Don't bash me. Just tell me what you like, what you dislike. And just keep up with me. It's funny. When you come see my show, I'm going to give you 150%. So you're going to have fun.
And all the white girls that are down on Broadway at Jason Aldean's, when they hear that Skinny Girls Let Bruce Brew, now they know.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to go, hey, they're going to explain that to your friends. Hey, let me tell you what happened in this
Real
story.
Quick, I know we got to go, but I had one white girl to hit on me one time. I'm like, whoa, you scared me. I'm like, what a good old boy is that? I don't want no problems.
You thought it was a trick?
Yeah, she did. I was in New York. I was upstate New York.
Yeah.
I think it was Rochester or something.
That might have been a trick up
and
there.
She walked up and she said, I thought you was the funniest one.
I said, well, is there white comics on the show?
Yeah, Gary Owens was on it. Oh. And she said, I thought you was the funniest one. I said, well, thank you. I'm being very cordial. And I realized she's hitting on me.
Hell yeah.
And it scared me. I'm like, no, we can't do this. You know what I'm saying? We can't do this. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got a buddy, black. All he like is white women.
That's it.
And then I got a white buddy who's a fireman. All he like is black women.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I said, man, you don't like them black women? I said, you don't like white girls? He said, I've never been a white girl in my life.
Wow.
He's got a black wife. They got 5 kids. I mean, he's doing well. He's a fireman. He cool. Yeah. He act black, though. You know, what's up, man? Like John B. You know, John B. What's happening, man? What's going on?
Oh, man.
But if I date a white woman, she's going to be filthy rich.
Oh, she got to be rich. That's right. Hey, she got to be rich.
Got to be.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, thanks for coming by, brother.
And thanks for having me.
Enjoyed it. Awesome.
I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. It was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.